If you've enjoyed spending time with us today, please take a moment to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or join the conversation on social media. Do you have a topic you would like to discuss or know someone with a story to share? Apply to be a guest on the podcast at farmingonpurpose.com. You can follow the host of Farming on Purpose, Lexi, on your favorite social media platforms for more content by searching for Farming on Purpose. And remember, if you look around your table and aren't inspired by the people there, it's time to find a new seat.
Welcome back to Farming on Purpose. Before we dive into today's topic, I am going to announce the extension of our giveaway, primarily because I did a terrible job of talking about it. This is the first time I believe I've even talked about it on the podcast. So if you are on my email list, you probably saw that we are doing a giveaway. We're going to be giving away Megan Gates' cookbook, Foundations of Beef, a Carhartt gift card, and some Farming on Purpose merch to the lucky winner. You have until the end of April to get entered, and the easiest way to get entered is by reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts or by sharing something about the podcast on social media. If you're listening and you take a screenshot, or if you share some of our reels to your stories on Instagram or however you want to do that, just give me a tag and I can mark down that to get you entered. And I would love to have you guys enter that. For one, it helps the podcast grow and helps me be able to continue to put together stories and find guests to bring these episodes to you every week. So if you could take a moment and do that, get entered to win that. Megan's cookbook is awesome. I'm buying a copy for myself as well and would love to be able to gift that to a lucky winner. So you have until the end of April to do that. Thank you so much for participating. Now, today's topic is really important to me, and it's one that I care a lot about, and one that I have been spending a lot of time researching and learning about over the past few years. I want to give a disclaimer before we dive into this topic. What I'm going to be doing is reviewing information that I gathered at a conference, Farm and Ranch Transition Conference, and it was a conference put on in Kansas by Ag Kansitions in Kansas State Agriculture Economics. And they had a guest speaker from the Oklahoma State University, Dr. Shannon Farrell. And I've heard him speak a couple times and really enjoyed his discussion on this topic. So I wanted to just recap a few of the things that stuck out to me from his presentation, and if they shed light on anything new to you and you didn't have the opportunity to go to this conference or something similar, then I hope it sparks some new ideas about how you are structuring your farm entity or whatever kind of entity you have to set it up for success in the future. So let's dive right in. So the very first thing that Dr. Farrell talked about is things that everyone needs to be able to plan financially for their future. Obviously, these things are specifically helpful for farms and businesses that transfer within families, but they are also helpful for any kind of person trying to make sure that their wealth is taken care of after they pass. So the very first thing was a guardian nomination for minor children. The second thing is beneficiary designations, and then durable powers of attorney, both for your business and healthcare, an advanced directive for healthcare, long-term care planning, and a will. So those are what Dr. Farrell considered the basics of what everyone should have in place. A lot of us, I think, avoid putting these things together because it's not fun to think about. Those kinds of situations. It feels very challenging to plan for, especially things like advanced directive for healthcare or long-term care planning, because post-COVID, we live in a pretty volatile healthcare environment where we just don't know what we would hope those situations look like. But the best we can do is use the information that we have to make a plan that makes sense now, and then obviously update it over time to reflect things as they change. Durable powers of attorney separate for business and healthcare is an interesting one, and not one that I had considered for business means. I think this one is interesting because usually when we think about power of attorney, we think about healthcare and making those like end of life decisions and how that plays out. But having it in place for your business is also very important. So then the beneficiary designations, this would obviously be for life insurance, just try to make that process go smoother, that your money you've been investing in those policies actually gets to the people you want it to get to and in a timely manner. And then the other opportunities that Dr. Farrell mentioned that you can utilize for some extra planning are creating a trust, life insurance, and long-term care insurance. So these are obviously like above and beyond what a lot of people would actually need or be interested in, but they are tools that can help your farm transition to the next generation safely, and without having to deal with a bunch of probate court issues. Okay, so that is the basics of what types of documents that you probably need to have in place. Like tomorrow, not to put any pressure on, but everyone should be thinking about having these things in place. If you have a family, if you have any kind of anything that you would like to go and be received by someone after you are no longer here. The next things that I want to focus on are some of the strategies that Dr. Farrell talked about and worked through with people on a regular basis through their consulting. But before we even get to that, I just want to say that I am someone who has probably taken legal things like this less serious than I should. Because up until we bought the farm this past year, I felt like we didn't really have that much to pass on or that much to worry about, honestly, if something were to happen to us. And so it wasn't ever a big focus for us. We just figured, we probably should have a will in place to take care of that. But after hearing Dr. Farrell speak on this matter, it's pretty apparent that the system of how this all unfolds after you die doesn't exactly happen like most of us probably think that it does. It is a pretty complex and heavily influenced by court issue. Even if you have a will, even if you have things laid out, even if you've talked to someone and they know what you want to happen after you pass, you still need to put it in legally binding documents to make sure that that happens and to protect it from doing something completely different that the court decides, which does happen and can happen. So that's just not something that I'd ever been exposed to or really thought about happening. I thought, you pass and your family gets your things. And if you have been specific about what family members get what things, then there's that. But it's actually a lot more complex than that in today's day and age. So in a moment here, we'll get into some of the strategies that Dr. Farrell discussed. But before we get to that, I want to kind of uncover the situation that is happening in farm and ranch transitions and what that looks like, because so many people that are planning for their operation to transition to the next generation are doing so either in a way that doesn't involve planning, involves last minute planning, or involves planning that actually is not super helpful to the next generation. And that is statistical fact that Dr. Farrell and Oklahoma State has uncovered. So that's why I think this issue is such an important topic. If what we're doing is not working, we should not keep doing it. So we just need a lot more education as the shift in power happens in a lot of farming operations and they transition to the next generation. First, we need to make sure that they're going to transition safely. And second, we need to make sure that we're setting up the transition model in a way that is more successful for those generational changes to happen. So, the very first piece of this is that the numbers don't lie. 88% of farms and agribusiness owners have absolutely no retirement plan. Why is that significant? You know, that's different than estate planning, retirement planning, but it highly impacts your estate plan because you may be holding on to assets or that income from the farm much, much longer than you would like to because you don't have a retirement plan in place. And that impedes the next generation from being able to get that experience while you're still alive and have, you know, some additional guidance while they're trying to take over the operation. 64% of farms and agribusinesses have no estate planning tools. So over half of people have not put any estate planning tools in place. And 55% of adults have no estate planning tools. So that's just in general. So we're not that far above just, you know, the average person. But when you consider how many assets there are that need to be transitioned for estate planning on farms, or that we would like to not just, you know, have issues in that happening, it's a much more serious issue. And then the other thing that's really important about this is that women pay special attention to this. A lot of times, you know, women are the ones that are trying to push some of this estate planning because they want to see the family at peace. They want to see that cooperation in the family. But also, it's even more important to women because usually 80% of the time, the woman is the one who outlives the man, and so is thus the one having to live the consequences of lack of planning when these situations occur. So if you are a woman on a farm and you do not have any estate planning in place, I would highly encourage you to look into it because you're the one who is more than likely going to have to deal with it in your future. That is a sad but true statistic that we just cannot avoid. Now, as Dr. Farrell uncovered some of the statistics around how generational transitions are happening on farms and ranches, he uncovered the fact that 64% of farms and ranches use the same transition strategy, and it has a 0.00% of statistical success, which is pretty sobering to think about, that 64% of people who are trying to transition their farms are going to fail. They have a 0% chance of success. When we go back to that number of how many farms and ranches are actually utilizing estate planning tools, it's only 64%. So that's not saying that 100% of farms and ranches are going to fail in their generational succession, but it's saying only 64% of them are even setting themselves up for success. And 64% of those people are going to fail because they're using a model that does not work. Okay, so what is that model that they are using? What is it that they're doing that is failing? The number one model here that is not working is that when a farm parent passes, they leave their children undivided interest in all of the farm assets. Now, what typically happens here is that there are farm kids and city kids. So if there are multiple children in a family, it is likely that some or one of them have stayed behind and worked on the farm and invested in the farm. They've stayed there locally, and the other kids have gone elsewhere. They've gone to the city. They've just not been involved in the farm as much. So there's kind of this distinction between the types of children in the family. And yet, farm kids and city kids are all treated equal. There's this idea that we want to treat all of our children equal. They get undivided interest in all the farm assets. And then eventually, the farm kid has to buy out the city kid. Now, at first glance, I'm sure this sounds very familiar to you. You've probably heard of lots of people who have done it this way or are planning to do it this way. You may be planning to do it this way. And it doesn't seem that bad at first when you look at it. You know, you think, well, that's fair. All the kids are treated equally and fairly. And it's only right that that farm kid should have to buy out their siblings if they want to own all of the farm. And the main reason that this doesn't have a even 1% chance of success statistically is because of the cost. There is a huge annual expense in setting up the farm kid to do this. Now, a big part of this is also how the farm transition was handled with that farm kid during the parents' time alive as well. So, if the farm kid was slowly acquiring assets of their own, if they were slowly buying, or renting other things so that they have a little bit more of that buying power, it's a little different than if they had nothing and were just working for mom and dad or trying to, do their own thing slowly and build up their assets. It's a big difference. The annual expense when the farm kid is expected to buy out the city kid, it requires commercial lending, and it usually requires about $375,000 to be put down on average, and over $200,000 in annual expenses. This makes it apparent pretty quickly why this option is very challenging to make work. There is a whole lot of information that Dr. Farrell has on this strategy and what it actually looks like and plays out like when it is utilized. And it's very interesting because it's a lot of things that you don't think about when you're trying to put this plan into place. I don't have all of that data, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in learning more about this, to visit the Oklahoma State University website and see what resources they have there. Especially if this is a model that you are currently thinking about putting in place or have in place. Get the facts about why it does or doesn't work and who is going to be paying for it and how that money will actually transfer, money and assets will actually transfer. Because it's important to know what that's going to look like. A lot of us might think, well, I'll be dead, so it's not really my problem. But if you actually want your farm to successfully transition, and you care about your children and the quality of life they're going to have, the opportunities that they're going to have after you're gone, it is your responsibility to understand how that transition will actually play out. So let's look at some of the other options, the other strategies that farms have as options to transition, and talk through some of those real quick. The second option is that the farm kid gets all of the operating assets and the city kid gets the financial instrument of equal value. They both share ownership of the farmland. So this type is usually using stock investments or whole life insurance as a financial instrument to provide something for the city kid. So I'll say that again. In this case, the farm kid gets the operating assets, so the equipment, anything that there is on site that is not the land. The city kid gets any kind of money assets that are available, and then they share ownership of the farmland. The third strategy is that the farm kid gets the operating assets, the livestock, the equipment, the buildings. The city kid gets the financial asset of equal value, and they share the land. So this is very similar to the last one. Again, you're using some type of stock investment or whole life insurance to provide that financial asset for the city kid. And then the fourth one is that the farm kid gets the operating assets again, and the city kid gets the financial asset of half the value of the operating assets, and they share the land. So a slightly different take on just how much of that financial instrument is due to the city kid. The fifth strategy is the farm kid uses their salary from the farm to purchase equity in the operating assets from mom and dad over a 20-year span, and they share the land. Obviously, in some years, the farm kid might not be able to afford to purchase that amount, and mom and dad can then gift the balance and keep a gift ledger. So mom and dad then use a sales process to develop the investment account. So this is a much more progressive model. It does require lots of prior planning because that's a 20-year span that you are trying to transition that equity in the operating assets from mom and dad to the kid. When the operator dies, the value of the operation typically drops by half due to assets being liquidated. This is something that's really important to know and probably something that we don't think about because of those costs that are required to make this transition happen when we don't plan for the transition. When the transition happens, there is almost always going to be some kind of tax. There's going to be court fees. There's going to be lawyers and things that have to be employed to make this happen. When the operator dies, usually as a farm, we are asset rich and cash poor. So how do we get cash to pay for those things? We liquidate some of the assets. And it's a lot more than you might typically think. It's usually about half of the assets of the farm being liquidated to make this financial model work for the successor. When we look at these different strategies and how much their costs are to the farm kid or the person who is remaining to try to take over the farm after the previous operator passes, it's a very different picture versus that first one we looked at, which was $375,000 down and $200,000 of annual expense. In the second option where the operating assets go to the farm kid and they share the land and there's an investment to the city kid, the annual expense of that is only $33,000. In the situation where the operational assets go to the farm kid, they share the land and there is life insurance, the annual cost of that is only $20,000. And in the instance where the farm kid buys out the operational assets from mom and dad while they are still alive, the annual expense of that is $53,000. So you have a huge difference in how expensive this planning becomes and in how successful it is. So it's definitely worth taking a look at some of these other strategies. And I mentioned earlier that there is typically a liquidation of assets at the time of a transition of a farm of about 50%. And it's really interesting. Dr. Farrell has a graph that shows this, and you see the value of an operation increase over time as the farm acquires more assets and more land. And, you know, they build up all of these things that they're doing. And then about every 20 years, that value is cut in half versus what the value could have been if estate planning was used as a tool. There are some different strategies out there. It's important to know what options you have and know how you can be creative and plan ahead of time. This is something that's really important to me right now. Even though my husband and I are young, we have 4 kids. So I know already that farm transition is going to be a challenge for our family. I don't know at this point, you know, my kids are young. I don't know how many of them may or may not choose to have an interest in the farm, but there is going to be some kind of strategy that we're going to have to start putting in place pretty soon in order to be successful. And we worked so hard to get here. I would hate to see all of that lost just because of poor planning on our part. And I think most people feel the same. If you're a beginning farmer, you've worked your butt off to get to the point that you are. You don't want that all to just disappear or to backtrack by 50% when you die. If you have kids who are potentially interested in being involved in production agriculture or your homestead or whatever the next stage of what you have built looks like, then this is something that you need to be addressing. So how does a successful transition happen? Let's talk about that. Dr. Farrell gave a 5-step plan to successful transition planning, which involves the 5 steps. The first one is inventory, which is to determine where you are now. So making a list of every single thing and measuring it or assigning a value to it that is in your operation. Doing this makes you feel pretty good because you realize you probably have a little bit more than you thought you did. We're talking like every chainsaw, every piece of equipment, every trailer, all of the things need to be inventoried and assigned a value so that you know exactly, you know, what your balance sheet looks like. The next step is to talk and to communicate with stakeholders. I think this step is probably what sets most of us back because it's hard. It's hard to talk. It's hard to admit to family members who raised us or to, you know, people that have been involved with the farm that we feel things should go a particular way or that we think that things should happen a certain way because we, you know, we hold a lot of things internally, especially those grandpas in agriculture. They're famous for it, of not wanting to show any emotion or feelings or admit that they would maybe, you know, prefer something one way over another. And so it requires vulnerability. And I think that's why so many people avoid succession planning. But it is required, and finding a way to do it successfully is a must. It can be really challenging to talk to these people about money that you care so much about, but it is something that has to happen if you want to be successful. The third step is to plan. So at this point, you have taken your inventory, you've talked to the stakeholders, you know where people stand, and you're now trying to develop a successful plan to transition that inventory to probably some of the stakeholders. And then the fourth step is to have a will. So develop a plan for your estate and your gifts. And the last step is to don't stop. So just because you put a plan in place yesterday doesn't mean that you're dead today. You can continue to evaluate it and revise it as things change and as things unfold to make sure that you have a successful plan. Now, going back to that second piece of talking and communicating with stakeholders being probably the most important piece of this whole process, it's not fair to assume anything from anyone or not ask what their input is because it may be different than you think. It may be something that they've held inside and not wanted to share. But if you are willing to ask for it and respectfully get their opinion, they may share it with you. And it can open up a lot of opportunities that might not have been considered before. So there's some tips from Dr. Farrell about how to communicate successfully. You know, most of them are similar to just good meeting practices, which we don't always think about with family. He said that most family transition planning conversations tend to happen around the dinner table at Thanksgiving dinner, which is a terrible idea. Because of the setup that puts the family in. It puts mom and dad in a position of being in charge and having authority, and it puts the kids in the same seat that they sat in when they were a 3-year-old sitting at that table. And so it just doesn't set up the stage very equally for all of the players. So don't do it at Thanksgiving dinner. They actually suggest doing it away from your home, somewhere that is, you know, equal ground, that just allows people to maybe have a little bit more of an equal playing field as they discuss really emotional things without having some of those other factors involved. So the thing that you want to do is ask, what is your vision of this operation and what do you see as your role in that future? That's going to be the question that starts to instigate the ideas and the discussion here. And it's also forward thinking. It's not focused on the past or, you know, what's happened before. And I think that's really important to recognize that as we think about this, of course, we want to consider who's invested in the farm and who's put in sweat equity and all of those things. But the ultimate goal is not retribution for what has already happened. It is to focus on the future of success for the farm. And then some of the ideas that should guide you as you embark in some of these discussions is that the most important thing is to keep relationships first. You don't want to ruin a relationship with a parent or a child or a sister or whoever it is. Prioritizing the relationship of the family and the stakeholders in the farm is incredibly important. It is the first priority. The second thing is that profitability matters. the economic well-being of the farm, it directly impacts relationships and it impacts the well-being of those who depend on it. So it cannot be ignored. The last one is we seek equity, not equality. So sometimes what's right isn't equal, and sometimes equal's not fair, which is a quote from Cor Blund. another one, or a few more here, I thought that was the last one, but it's not, is that participation is an opportunity, not an entitlement. If you're going to be involved in the future of the farm, that is an opportunity for you, and you should view it as such. You are not entitled to it, and so that needs to be recognized. It's not a birthright. It is earned by contribution of labor, of management, of capital to the farm. And then another one, you deserve the chance to profit from your contribution. You deserve to be paid for your labor or to be rewarded for that investment. And there can be no reward without risk. So the risk of that activity of being involved in the farm is inherent, and it's going to be there. It's going to happen. It's part of farming. Last two that I think need to be left here from Dr. Farrell's presentation that actually struck me really deeply is that participation requires preparation. So we do not have the opportunity to participate in farming unless we prepare adequately for that to happen. It's complex, it's challenging, it is not something that just happens. Anyone who participates in the farm has an obligation to be informed and to know what is going on, to have that adequate preparation for this time. We're talking about a lot of assets that we're hoping to transfer. We're talking about the future success of a business that has lasted potentially generations. So if you want to be involved in that, if you want to have the opportunity to do that, you are required to prepare for it. It's not going to just appear on your doorstep. And the last one that I thought was very interesting and a unique take on this, that I plan on making part of our transition plan, is that wealth without wisdom is a curse. So putting all this work in, doing all of this planning to gift assets and be able to provide assets and a secure financial future for my children on the farm is a waste if we don't do it the right way, if we give that to them and they're not prepared to take it on. It would be a disservice to give them something without preparing them to receive it. And I really enjoyed Dr. Farrell's example of this, that if you have an expensive vase in your hand and you're going to give it to someone to hand it to them and you want them to hold it and not drop it and break it, it's a lot different situation if you just chuck it across the room at them versus if you say, hey, I have this vase, I'm going to put it in your hands, I'm now putting it in your hands, you now have it, hold it safely. That is a completely different experience and a completely different thing that happens. The other quote that he mentioned here was actually from a client of his, which was that you need to be focused on creating opportunity. Wealth flies away, and when that happens, opportunity is what remains. So focusing on giving my children opportunity versus wealth is going to serve them much better because, again, wealth is something that can go away. It can be taken away. It can be lost. It can be, it can shift because of changing markets and a changing agriculture climate. But opportunity will always be there for those who have the ability to see it and the resources that they need to take advantage of it. So that is my goal as we prepare transition and succession planning on our farm, which is weird to say as a 30-something year old that we are already thinking about that. But again, preparation and a time, the more time, the better when we're talking about this kind of thing. So the other thing that Dr. Farrell talked a lot about is how to actually set up your succession plan. And a lot of that revolves around taxation and figuring out how to do that in a way that is beneficial for your farm. And I think that that is really interesting. However, I do not fully understand it. So if you are interested in learning more about that, I highly advise you to check out the resources that Oklahoma State has, that Ag Kansitions have at K-State, and learn about some of the different entities that you can set up and structures that you can have in place to benefit your farm from a tax perspective. And also how to understand better how these are going to affect the transition model that you're going to choose, the transition strategy that you're going to utilize. The thing that Dr. Farrell said often throughout his presentation is that the long-term human mortality rate is 100%. And that is why he is very passionate about making sure that people put in this planning and preparation, because it's going to happen. There are very few things that we can be 100% certain of in this life, but the fact that we will die one day is one of them. So there's no use avoiding that fact. We might as well prepare for it. So I hope that we can get Dr. Farrell on the podcast one day to discuss more on this topic with you guys. I think it's really important. He has a lot of valuable information from years of experience working with farms, and he's had a lot of experience with doing this the wrong way. Because it happened so often during COVID where people were trying to plan a transition of their farm as their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa was being intubated. And that is not the situation that you want to be in. You can't predict the future. We don't know what will happen, but we can do the best we can today to prepare for when it happens. So that is it for today. Thank you guys so much for being here. And if you enjoyed this topic, I would love to hear from you on social media.
If you've enjoyed spending time with us today, please take a moment to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or join the conversation on social media. Do you have a topic you would like to discuss or know someone with a story to share? Apply to be a guest on the podcast at farmingonpurpose.com. You can follow the host of Farming on Purpose, Lexi, on your favorite social media platforms for more content by searching for Farming on Purpose. And remember, if you look around your table and aren't inspired by the people there, it's time to find a new seat.